You're listening to Around Comics, episode 103.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman. I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello!
And Mr. Tom Caters.
You got a mustache this week, so I'm going to have attitudes.
Porn stash.
mustache ride!
Truck driver stash Tom.
Yeah, 70s mustache. I look like a character from a 70s movie that John Suntress only knows.
Well, speaking of John Suntress, you know him as the host of Word Balloon. He's our... Wait, oh, no, it's not John. Oh, it's Scotty. Hey, Scotty.
That old Warren joke.
Yeah, that has been used too many times.
sitting in for our...
No, it's really funny. Mm-hmm.
sitting in for our Monday regular, Mr. Suntress, is Mr. Scotty Young.
Hey, I'm bossy. I'm the first one to beat the drum. That's right.
Hey, John's going to...
Because I'm bossy!
Hey, John's going to pop in a little bit later, but this is...
10 cents.
Oh, I forgot.
Before he gets here, we're happy for John. He's got a new job, but unfortunately, he's not going to be on the show as much as he has in the past.
Why? What's his new job?
He's going to be working. He's going to be working nights, radio station. So,
what's he doing at the radio station?
He's doing commercials.
Ruling. Oh, wow!
Ruling, yes. Overall
at the mix.
Yes. So
the new mix.
So their gain
he's
is
getting
our
in
loss.
The mix. Did back in the mix.
He's mixing up batter.
Mixing it up.
At the mix.
Do they play a mix of music that everyone can agree on, including your boss?
I believe that is their mantra.
Yes. What, really? That's their tagline?
I don't know.
Every station called The Mix has that.
As that is their
the whole
tagline.
Family can agree on. Everything from Elton John to Billy Joel.
To I'm
to Billy Joel.
And everything in between.
There's not a lot of space in there.
Elton John to Billy Joel is about 2 centimeters.
Yeah.
So without John being here, we can definitely say how much we've enjoyed having him on the show. And please check out Word Balloon. It's a great podcast.
We're definitely going to miss John not being around as much. Hopefully he'll still have time to stop in, but you can always hear him on his own show, and you know, we'll make fun of him even though he's not going to be here anymore.
So
it'll
now
be easier to make fun of him.
Sure.
Yeah, well,
he won't look at you, won't be staring at you the whole time while you're doing it, yeah.
With one single tear down the side of his cheek. And then you feel terrible.
And he talks about something like, and then he's in the third person, goes, why do you have to make Suntress cry?
Yeah. The Suntress is sensitive.
Father Pat's tough, but John is sensitive.
Very sensitive, yes.
Well, you know, who else is sensitive?
The clown who's crying on the inside.
Art students are sensitive. Great time to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
When art attacks strike a small town, only 4 high school girls could be responsible. Get your copy of The Plain Janes by Cecil Castellucci and Jim Rugg at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels. Wow, that was a short sentence. Find a store near you at borderstores.com or use the store locator at aroundcomics.com.
Absolutely, and if you want to hear a little bit more about The Plain Janes, you missed our 100th episode, you can go back and listen to that. We talked with Cecil and Scotty, and we're reunited.
Reunited, and I'm here, I'm bossy!
Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
Bring your own beer, though.
While you're here, remember to ask Mark about Dark Tower's fantastic pull list membership. It's truly one of the best you will find out there anywhere. All right, we have a new contest. It's our Be a Hero contest. Rules are very simple. You can make a donation at www.heroinitiative.org, then send us an email at hero@aroundcomics.com. You can include your PayPal receipt if you would like to. It's really easy. A donation of $1 to $10 gets you one entry. Donations in multiples of 10 gets you one entry per 10.
Oh.
It's a great prize pack. It's being sponsored by InStockTrades.com. They're including two $50 gift certificates. Grand prize, our first place winner, gets $50 gift certificate to InStockTrades.com. You also get a hardcover Scotty Young sketchbook with a wonderful Scotty Young sketch in the back of it.
What's that sketch going to be?
Whatever I want it to be.
No, no plans.
Be like
yet.
Mickey Mouse or something.
Nice.
You'll also receive a one of a kind hardcover edition of Jeffrey Brown's "I'm Going to Be Small." Jeffrey's not only signed, but has done a fantastic 2-page illustration on the inside cover of the book. Second prize will be a $50 gift certificate to InStock Trades.
We might have some other things to throw in too.
Yeah, I think Norton's going to throw some stuff in.
I have to say that when I listen to the show, you give me contest blue balls because you always introduce this contest as the new contest, right? So you say, oh, and we have a new contest. And I go, all right, a new one.
Yes. We're teasing. Right.
It's your latest contest.
Oh, okay.
Good Lord.
Not new. Well, you listened. You were so behind the times. You weren't listening.
Not now.
As the show's,
I'm caught
you're
up.
Caught
you
up
can't
now.
Hold that against me anymore.
But it's our latest contest. Okay.
And we have had fine, some entries, and I think you hear about those on Thursday. So I know Matt Kramer has donated. We had another guy donate.
We
so.
Have a, it seems like we have an email here from someone.
Another guy.
Is this someone that donated?
Oh, yes. There it is. It says, hey, Around Comics crew, thanks for taking such a proactive role in supporting this organization. You guys are responsible for getting me back into comics, my free time, and my girlfriend know who to blame. I have but one request. You all have to stop making me laugh out loud at work. I'm looking at you, Tom. If I get fired, then I can't buy any more comics. Best of luck with the charity, and keep up the good work. And that's from Connor, and Connor donated $10 to Hero.
Well, so thank you, Connor.
Maybe if you took your job seriously, you wouldn't be listening to us while you're doing it.
Yeah. Don't say
it's
that.
Not good. It's not good.
How many podcasts do you? How many podcasts do you listen to at work?
But I don't take my job seriously.
Well, that's good to know.
I hope my employers are listening. I take it very seriously. I cry every time when I have to leave.
Why are you making me go home?
I have a clock.
Don't turn off the lights.
Just one more hour, sir.
Well, this is one of our Monday news and reviews episodes. We actually have a new segment this week. It's not just news and reviews. We're going to have news, reviews, and previews. After Top of the Stack, we're going to take a look at this coming week's new releases.
So Wednesday's new books that are
tell you what to buy.
Well, we're going to suggest some things that people may be interested in based on our own
Sal and I will
likes.
Suggest, and Tom will tell you what to buy.
You guys are going to suggest books that aren't out yet, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah.
Fucking hype machine.
That's us,
we're
baby.
The hype machine. We don't know if it's good. We're wizard now, baby.
But the
well,
thing is,
we tell you it's good a month
it's all
before.
Based on... No, it's they're coming out this week.
Whatever.
Shut up.
And everything, we're actually going to start doing here at Top of the Stacks, not about books we've read yet, but books we expect to be good.
That's all my tops
of the stack.
But only,
it looks pretty.
But only,
I bet you it's good.
Only if they've sold out before they're released.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise.
My criteria is if it hasn't, if you can still reorder it by 8 p.m. the day it comes out, it's not a Top of the Stack. And it sells out. Completely with
high standards.
I will not recommend a book unless every retailer in the nation calls me to tell me that their store is completely out of copy.
And you can reach Scotty at 773.
Oh, that's fucked up.
I only pick books if they're
just those three numbers.
I pick books on the amount of alternate covers that are available to them. Otherwise, I mean, if it only has one cover, how good could it really be? Right?
My Top of the Stack always has to have a Pop-Tart ad in it. Because I think Pop-Tarts are tasty.
I think that's a fine line of criteria.
Or tabacky is wacky.
Tabacky.
All right, guys. It is time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
Wire to Wire comic book news.
And our first story is taking a look at DC's collected edition offerings for October of this year. We're going to look ahead a little bit, and there's some.
Oh, you're kidding me. They're doing
what?
Another Absolute Sandman hardcover.
They're going to do all of them.
I know, but it's just killing me because I got to buy them all.
When they figure out a way to make something even better than the
hologram editions
tattooed into your brain.
Ah.
More extras.
I can't wait.
You get to write your own Sandman. Story. Then they'll sell that to you as well.
I pitched an idea to DC that for the third volume of the Absolute, they actually don't send you a book You have to order this. They don't send you a book. They actually send a cast of actors to your house.
To play it out.
To play the whole thing out, wherever in your house you want. And they
Neil Gaiman does narrations.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, it just comes
Imagine
through.
Imagine if plays were like that, and you went to go see a play, like, and then it got repackaged, and you went and saw it the next day, but, like, better.
Yeah.
Well, they do that
it's
with
similar to, like,
actors.
Renting a car, right? Like, it's not your car, but you can use it whenever you want.
Beat
you
it up.
Pay for it, so... Yeah, just actors.
What would something like that run?
Cats for decades.
A true collector like myself.
$10.
$10? Wow, and they didn't go
for
that.
They're not good actors. They're not good actors. Just
really
the sheer volume that they need. Right? Yeah. So it's pretty much anybody who can talk.
Well, I am looking forward to the any absolute that comes out automatically piques my interest. But the one on this list that caught my attention the most was the Spirit Volume 1 Deluxe Hardcover. So if you're a fan of the Darwin Cook... reimagining of the Spirit. It's not
Shouldn't
even really
they call
a reimagining.
It like the new Spirit?
Well, it's Neo. The Neo Spirit.
The yeah, like New Age Spirit.
I said reimagining. That's probably not the way to describe it because it is pretty faithful to Eisner's version of the Spirit.
Oh, Spirit sure. Armageddon.
I was
Armageddon
Inferno.
It read my mind.
Spirit Inferno.
Yes.
Spirit but there's Inferno. Also an Atomic Knights showcase, which is sweet. Mm-hmm. There's any book about a futuristic world where it was destroyed by nuclear bombs, and the only people that can protect you are guys wearing old suits of armor that got irradiated who ride Dalmatians. It's just ripe with great storytelling.
Isn't that's in the new multiverse, that's Earth 17,
yeah,
which you dubbed Tom's Earth.
The time. And there's also Metal Men coming out, and those Metal Men stories are funny.
Shazam, the Monster Society of Evil Deluxe Hardcover.
Exterminators Volume 3.
Question Volume 1.
That's the Denny O'Neill.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Jack Fables Volume 2.
52 The Covers Hardcover.
Yeah.
All 52 of them.
Deluxe hardcover.
Deluxe.
So it's going to be
What's
a hardcover.
What's going to be a hardcover?
I don't know.
It's an enigma wrapped in a riddle, folks.
Is it going to have a new cover?
Oh.
I want to put a hardcover of 52
pages. Which cover would they choose?
And if they do, will it be later collected in a better collection?
It's actually going to have a It's going to have a front cover and a back cover, but then only 50 covers in between in the actual book.
Oh.
How about that? Huh?
Mm. We'll do a hardcover of page ones of 52. Just page ones.
Mystery in Space.
Recap pages. Just the recap pages, whole hardcover.
They do 52 hardcovers of... No, it would be... It'd be 52 times 22, whatever that would add up to. Of
get your
abacus
out, Chris.
Each page of each issue, and so you have to collect them all to get the entire... But you can only read it one page at a time.
It'd be the best-selling book ever.
Yeah,
each one comes with a Pokemon card. Mystery in Space, the Great Jim Starlin series will be collected. And,
that's a good book.
And the third and final volume of Justice is going to be coming out.
They're also publishing The Flash Wonderland, which is a collection of issues that came out about 7 years ago that never got traded. So way to go, DC, on your timely issuing of the Jeff Johns run on The Flash.
You know, you talk about packaging and repackaging. Just mentioned Justice, which came, the single issue. Which, did it wrap up? Is it done?
No, it's not done yet.
Okay, but they have the first two hardcovers, so it'll be three hardcovers, and then I'm sure they're going to come out with trades, and then that they're going to come out with an absolute of that.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the trick. It's, you get... I own friggin' four versions of Watchmen, I think, now.
How many times have you bought the Dark Knight?
I bought the original issues twice in my life, because I bought them, sold them, then bought them again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've bought
two
trades because I bought one, read the crap out of it,
fell apart,
and then gave it to somebody, but then I wanted to read it again, and I never got it back, so I bought another one, and then I bought, I think, another set of, I don't remember.
You
there was like another
the absolute,
and then the absolute edition. Yeah, I'm a sucker for that. I can't help it.
I fall for it too.
Well, you know what else you're a sucker for?
What?
The Badger.
The Badger. That's right.
And the Badger is
ding.
And the Badger is coming back, and he's coming back through IDW, which is interesting because IDW is not really known for superheroes.
Well, he's not a superhero.
Exactly. So I think it's actually a fairly good fit. Well, he's a very oddball superhero.
Is he an
adventurer?
Ninja?
Mm-hmm. He's a kung fu master. But
you
he's
ever read
also
the Badger?
Sociopathic. Lord,
no. Chicago's very own Mike Norton worked on the Badger for the Image days.
Yeah, that was his first book. I think was the Badger.
Is he still a Vietnam War vet consistently throughout it?
Yeah, he was.
He's a florist.
He's not like the Punisher where they changed it at some point.
No, they never really changed that. He was always that.
I've only read the early stuff. I never really read the Image stuff, so I don't know if they
decided to change it.
I've actually never heard of the Badger. I mean, I've heard of the Badger. Like
you'd like the Badger.
People say, "Oh, Mike worked on it."
Badger was a cool character. I mean, he was sort of like, to me, it always felt like it was making fun of characters like Wolverine or the Punisher, where he's like this completely psychotic, over-the-top superhero.
Right.
He was mentally...
He was crazy.
He was mentally unstable. Yeah. But he's really a badass and just loved to fight. There was a little bit more to it than that. I mean, as the series went on, there was a lot of very strange things that went on. And he ended up crossing over with Nexus, and that changed some things. But the interesting thing about this story is that they're trading it. They're going to have the complete Badger in trade.
Not just the new stuff.
So they're going to do all that, so you can go back and get that. And I recommend it. I loved the book when I was growing up.
No more diving through quarter bins. Finish your
And then they're going to start a new Badger with Mike Barron, who is the original writer of the Badger, writing it once again. So for any I know there's Badger fans out there. I'm a Badger fan, and he's
Badger.
From Wisconsin.
Yeah. You can read the story of the Ghost of Baskin Hill.
Yeah.
We talked about on the Crankcast. I went to school in Madison, so whenever he was in Madison, I was always like, yeah.
Yay!
Cool. I once got into a fight with someone on the streets like, no, I never did. I'm a huge pussy. Never got into a fight.
Well, Fanagraphics is asking anyone out there that has any high quality or even better yet, original Pogo art, you Ooh. Get in touch with them. This is the press release from Gary Groff. So we are requesting the help of Pogo collectors who may have original art or high-quality reproductions of Walt Kelly's Pogo strip. We are currently assembling Walt Kelly's Pogo, the complete daily and Sunday strips. We're looking for the best possible black and white reproduction of both Sundays and dailies, especially the Sundays. If you have the original art or proofs that you would be willing to let us scan, we would be grateful if you would contact us. You can email us directly at groff@fantagraphics.com. Please put Pogo, P-O-G-O, in the header. Thank you, Gary Groff, Fantagraphics. So if you have any, do you have any original Pogo?
No, God, no. I don't have any. I have a Pogo trade that I had bought when I was a kid. Before trades existed, but this was it was a big phone book. It was like a Cerebus size phone book of Pogo stuff.
Send that in, man.
You think they'd want it?
No.
I don't think so.
Fantastic Four, the cartoon, is coming to the Cartoon Network. It will premiere the first 26 weekly episodes, and that's going to start on June 9th, right before the Rise of the Silver Surfer feature.
Yeah,
it's going to be 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on that Saturday. So
just for kids.
Just for kids.
9:30 p.m. Why the hell would they do that? It's like a cartoon. Is it an adult cartoon?
They know comic book fans are home on Saturday night.
I guess so.
They released the four episodes that ran last year. I didn't even see them. I haven't seen them.
I never saw them.
Yeah, how was it?
It was pretty good. I mean, obviously, because it's an anime style, certain people were like, oh, that's not what the Fantastic Four cartoon should be.
I hate people that draw on
They
that.
Should dig oh, up Jack Kirby.
Flash art.
So how do you feel about Sin City?
Well, I think that they should make a video game.
What about you, Chris?
I liked the book. I loved the movie. Now I can't wait to do it myself in a video game.
I want to stick a dude's head in the shitter.
Will it have a who's the actress that played the girl in the bathroom naked?
The girl. Martinez or something like that.
It was Marv's parole officer.
Yeah, I can't think of her name.
They should have her in the video game a lot.
Yeah, naked.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, because that was.
She played like the mom in that series of Robert Rodriguez.
Spy Kids. You know, I can't even because
and then
this doesn't even being like dirty, like she's stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. Head
takes
to toe.
Your breath away.
Yeah, literally, like not in like a because usually
not like
in
a perverted
chick,
way,
like a dude,
right?
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, but no, she's gorgeous.
Yeah,
I mean,
you see her on that, and you just go,
Wow.
That is perfect. She's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would you like a statue made?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, the Sin City video game will be coming out. They haven't released a date, but Frank Miller is going to be a part of it. So
very
look
nice.
For that in the coming months.
Can't wait.
Something else to look forward to, and also in black and white, is going to be a new series from Rick Remender called Sorrow. It's
Sorrow.
Looks like it's going to be a 4-issue miniseries. It's going to be a horror story based more on possession, which Remender says is something that he's always been fascinated with.
He must be Catholic.
I went to Catholic school, and I'm also fascinated with possession.
Catholics are so afraid of like The Exorcist. You know, every Catholic I know is scared shitless
of
that movie.
The thing is, the demon's already inside of you.
Well, yeah, I don't have to worry about it.
I went to Hogwarts, and possession's nothing there.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be done
Slytherin?
Just by...
Come on, who are you talking to?
Every single Hogwarts student I know is deathly afraid of possession.
Well, I only know 3 Catholics, but all 3 of them.
No, I'm one just, of the 3.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know you were Catholic.
I'm Catholic.
I was raised Catholic.
I was raised Catholic.
Are you afraid of possession?
Well, no, I'm cool, though. I think it's pretty neat.
No, you're just saying that, but deep down inside...
You're scared
like,
shitless.
Oh,
I just pissed myself a little bit. Thinking about possession.
I just dribbled just a little.
Just a little.
Well, the creative team for this looks pretty cool. It's not just going to be Rick Remender. It's going to be co-written by Seth Peck, which if you ever post on the image board, Seth is always around there. Italian superstar artist.
Is that his claim to fame, though, really, that he's on the image boards? Has he written anything before?
I
got your priorities mixed up.
I think he's writing something with Clay Moore. He might be working on... I don't know if Seth...
He's a frequenter to a message board.
A lot of
yeah, exactly.
He should email us. But they announced... He and Rick are doing, obviously.
Yep. Sorrow. And then he's working on 76 with Clay Moore.
Well,
anyway,
either way, you can look it for yourself.
Also, Francesco Francavilla, which if you've read The Black Coat, you should know his work. And it looks like Kieran Dwyer is going to be working on covers.
Nice.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
Next,
it's available in June previews.
Mm-hmm. Oni Press is going to be bringing a new series out in August called Black Metal. It is a full-length graphic novel by the newest Masters of Mayhem, Rick Spears, and who did Teenagers from Mars, which you liked quite a bit, didn't you?
I did like that. I like a couple other things that Rick's done. Pirates of Coney Island.
Dead West, which was
Dead
good.
West. I didn't read Dead West, but...
I'm
sure I probably would. I've liked everything. Yes.
So look for Black Metal coming out in
They actually
August.
Sent us a preview of it. 22-page preview of the graphic novel.
How metal was it?
It was very metal. It was actually pretty funny. It was like these... It's sort of about these two real, like, geeky metal guys who are playing... They play this album... And they find this album in the record store of
they play
like
it backwards.
Super, yeah, they play it backwards and they end up like
themselves in the
going
place.
They
you know what it says?
I'm bossy
when it goes backwards.
They end up like going to this other dimension. The song when they played it forward was all about this like demon war and this sword that was created and everything. And then when they play it backwards, they like go and find the sword, and that's kind of where the story goes from there. So
awesome.
It was pretty funny.
It was like a real album.
I'm tricking out my van. Like a big sword.
Yeah. A big wolf.
So it was pretty metal, I gotta say. It was definitely metal. But it was obviously making fun of the whole, you know, sort of.
Some disappointing news out of Marvel this week. If you've listened to the show before, you've probably heard how much I like the Blade series by Mark Guggenheim and Eric Shaken. And unfortunately, issue 12 is going to be the conclusion of that series. So they announced that, and Mark Guggenheim said it's not going to be the last time you'll see Blade. He's got some plans for the character.
He's putting Blade in Flash.
Yes. Yeah. But it's going to be a rogue.
You can do it.
Very nice.
So
you have to become Captain Blade. Or Blade Master.
Captain Dagger.
Blade Master sounds a little better.
So, unfortunately, they just couldn't keep that series going. If you have a chance, please go pick up the first trade.
The cancellation was announced just in time for that first trade to hit.
Yep.
Good job.
Yep. Yeah. Nice
marketing.
Well, I hope that they do collect the second six issues because I think they were even stronger than the first six. We talked about it today at lunch. That was a series. While it started off okay, it really picked up.
It took a little while to get its legs, but once it did, it was really good. And it's a shame that they didn't get more time. Hopefully, this is like maybe if there's a huge outcry of Blade fans that maybe they'll do like a Manhunter on it and they won't cancel it because it was really good and good, and especially Chankin's art.
Yeah.
I thought was some of the best I'd seen it from him in years.
Well, and I mean, Scotty, you're an industry guy. How do you feel about kind of the comics culture where you really have to hit your stride in the first or second issue or you're going to lose readers and a book is probably not going to be long for the shelves?
You know what? I think a lot of times what everybody needs to remember is while it does have something to do with readers, it also has things to do with the company publishing the book and the retailers who buy it. The numbers from the retailers are the most important part of it. And then, you know, then it's getting into the fans' hands. But if there's only a limited number of copies to get into fans' hands, to whether a book is great at the beginning or takes a little while, sometimes it even will boil down to the hype before the book even hits shelves.
Mm-hmm. It's like a book has to be a hit before
it. Yeah, it really does. It's getting to a point, where you know, the hype, you know, where the Amazing Screw-On Head, for example, you know, they wanted to do this cartoon, but they decided, we'll throw a episode on TV real quick and
see what people think.
We'll see before it. So it's almost like you're cutting off your legs before you even give it a chance to run by saying, we're not even sure about this. You know what I mean? Like, we're not that confident in it.
Take a look,
so
let us know what you think.
You know, so automatically, I mean, you know, you look at it and you go, So sometimes I think books come out, or before they come out, they try to get a hype going, and if they don't see that hype resulting in a lot of reaction, sometimes I think companies or publishers can actually back out of the excitement of their own property, before it even starts.
I think they pulled the cord on this one pretty early. Right. And unfortunately, I think Blade, and we've talked about it before, it's a really hard sell character because you have fans of the movie that are going to read this and say, this isn't the Blade that I watch in the movie, and they won't like it. And then you have people that would maybe be interested in picking it up, but they didn't like the Blade in the movie, and they don't know that this is a different style of character written very differently.
I mean, and again, this is all speculation. While I am in the industry, I don't want to act like I sit in on any business meetings or anything like that. But, you know, the cancellation of the TV show could have played a big part. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that got canceled, that this is getting canceled, and they both, they hit at the same time. You know, one was leading into the other, so that could have played its part in it.
That will take care of our Wired to Wire comic book news. But want to move on to a few different ways that you can interact with the show. One of those is our hotline,
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the show.
Just like this.
Hey guys, it's your old friend Marvell. How you guys doing?
Hello, Captain.
Listen, I heard that Sal wasn't going to be around for 1 week, and I was wondering if you guys have a job opening. You know, I heard you guys are really good to your friends, and, you know, like, give people jobs. I kind of got tired of working in this other job that my buddies Reed and Tony gave me. So give me a call back.
It's Marvell.
It's Marvell.
He's Captain. Tired of watching
the
bad
sorry,
guys.
Sorry. Sal's back.
Yeah, so. I'm here.
All right, sorry, man. Can't
stay with what you're doing.
Love the time paradox.
I think we really know who that.
That was Pat Loaika.
Was it really
Pat?
It was John's stunt double.
My stunt double.
Yeah, exactly.
Good, because we're ready to make our next popcorn action movie.
Okay. Oh. With Tom as
a bomb. Something's got to go.
As the truck driver.
What the? Exactly. I got to borrow your fertilizer truck. No time to explain.
All right, we have one more voicemail from Keith Cunningham.
Hey guys, Keith Cunningham here. Just thought I'd leave you a quick voicemail question that might lead to some interesting discussion.
Uh-oh.
I've heard a few people describe the Marvel icon line as their response to Image, and giving creators a chance to work on creator-owned work while still printing under the Marvel umbrella. Obviously, this line was created for their exclusive creators, but I was wondering if you thought the line could have the same sort of industry impact Image has, or even Vertigo has, if they were to open it up to submissions from people who aren't already Marvel exclusive. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Never gonna happen.
Never gonna happen. Yeah,
yeah, it's a vanity press.
Yeah.
That's there as a bonus, basically.
Yeah.
To
entice creators to sign exclusives. Guys like Bendis and...
Well, yeah.
And Brubaker to go, hey, you know what? You can still do your own creator stuff under the Icon banner.
But I also think it's sort of weird to compare it to Vertigo because, I mean...
Image.
Or
he did Image.
First Image.
We've heard Vertigo before.
Well, he was
before,
hoping for Vertigo. Can he open it up more, and could it become a Vertigo?
I don't see that ever.
You know, have an impact. Like, have an impact is a different imprint in the same way that Image and Vertigo have.
Exclusive contracts. That's...
It certainly could... But I don't see any reason Marvel would do that.
No.
I mean, they're not going to... Those books, I mean, what does Criminals sell at? You know, what does Powers sell? Those are very low selling. They're not going to...
Powers is
actually
bad, actually. But Powers already had a built-in audience.
Right, before it moved over.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. They're not going to just start opening this up to do different types of books.
Exactly.
To do a Vertigo-like thing.
It's a perk that makes these guys money, but it is a perk, and it comes to a cost at Marvel. But again, somewhere on the balance sheet, it makes sense for them to give them this 20-plus thousand book monthly so that they can write the 100,000 selling book or whatever.
Oh,
maybe it doesn't sell 100.
It's a vanity thing so that guys like Bendis and Brubaker can
still
do this.
Even that's still very limited, though. I mean, if you look at the amount of books since... You know,
there've been
Powers and Kabuki were the kind of the first ones
that came
Straczynski's
over.
Straczynski's came and went.
Yeah,
right. That was a one
shot.
So
it's still for exclusive artists, it's still very limited.
I think it was open to be an ongoing series, and Book of Fate. No, it wasn't the Book of Fate. That was the other
Book of Lost Souls.
Book of Lost Souls. It was him and Colleen Dorn.
Yeah. So. Well, he did a different one, I thought, under the... Maybe it wasn't
Dream
under...
Dream Police,
I believe,
Dream Police was a one-shot. You're right about that. And that was something that was going to start at Top Cow.
Been
sitting on a show.
Yeah, I don't see the Marvel ever... I mean, it's like with Vertigo, I don't know how well Vertigo does for DC.
Well,
the
trades do outstanding. The single issues do terrible.
Right.
That is a... Don't forget, though,
Time Warner is backing up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Vertigo is definitely... a division of the company that makes for fantastic
R&D.
TV shows.
I think Constantine
and Marvel doesn't have
the lab.
Is not sitting with Warner Brothers behind them, Time Warner, where they can go, okay, we have this division. But you got to their trades again. I mean, the Vertigo trades are plastered all over that place, not just in the graphic novel section. You'll see them in the middle.
The kiosk part, the
displays.
The only thing that would change what they're doing with Icon now is if it made a lot of money for them somehow.
If suddenly Criminal
started selling 100,000 copies, then they'd look at it and go, well, maybe we could. But it's just not.
But I think it's still pick and choose the specific creators.
Absolutely. They're not going to open it up to open submissions.
I always thought the Max line was more of Marvel's attempt to do something like Vertigo.
A little more Vertigo.
But it's still superhero.
I think that's why it hasn't sort of...
It's like superheroes that say shit, you know? Like,
right, exactly.
I wouldn't say that's like Vertigo.
And boobies.
Yeah.
But they did try Howard the Duck. You know, they gave Gerber 6 issues to bring back Howard the Duck, and they have made attempts at other genres.
Well, they've done some Western stuff, and they've done, you know, they're going to dabble with it just to sort of... You know,
it's all
stuff
about.
Out,
I think,
but
I
superheroes
think,
is what sells.
Dude,
I mean, look at how good
movie come out, or also the Hellstorm.
Well, I mean, it's all about conviction, right? I mean, if you put something out, you have to actually have conviction to stick around for a while.
You also have to think of the way Vertigo didn't start and then become a success. Vertigo grew out of the success of other things.
Right, exactly.
Included
into Vertigo.
It wasn't just like we start Vertigo.
Right.
Now this is it.
And Icon is sort of like that because Powers. Powers was the highest selling Image book outside of the studio, the Image studios like Top Cow and Spawn, you know, the McFarlane. Those outside of those, Image was Powers was the highest selling Image book.
Yes,
that was completely independent, creator owned outside of the studio. So that already had and I think if I can remember correct, and I could be wrong, but it was selling around 35,000 copies an issue, which for an image book is fantastic.
Sure.
So when you have, it's similar to what Tom just said about Vertigo. It has a success. Will they ever spin that out and actually create it? Marvel take Icon to that place? I don't know.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
I couldn't see it happening.
Unless something runs away successfully.
Right, that's what I mean. Unless something just went bonkers and then they go, well, we can, you know, we do have an opportunity here to...
Because I'd like to... I mean, you could put books like... It'd be nice to see books like Runaways or... Because I think that's
outside
still
of
kind
of
an outside of
the
general idea. But you could start to craft and... Because Marvel's tried
even like
the different
Next
lines,
Wave,
you
know. You
know? They've tried, yeah. Next Wave, I think, would be fantastic. Even though it's gone, it's always, you know, the good ones always go away.
Well, there you go. That's the kind of discussion that you can help
a
bring on
song.
by sending
the good
in
ones
a voicemail.
Always
so,
go.
Thank you very much, Keith.
Thank you, Tom.
We have a ton of listener emails to get to, but we're going to do that after our weekly reviews and previews. It is time for Top of the Stack.
Top of the Stack.
That's right. It's Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listeners, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the past week. Spoiler warning, we have been trying to get a little bit deeper into the book, so there may be mild spoilers ahead. Who would like to go first?
Tom always goes first. Why do you ask?
Tom always goes. I'm Tom Gators.
Someone was funny. Someone left an iTunes review. I think referred to me as the squeaky one.
Squeaky.
Yeah.
Because I did the Tom Gators voice last week.
I'm Tom Gators. I always.
And you
go
know
first.
How when you hear your own voice in your own head, you don't
find
think of my
voice.
Set.
You
know,
find deep voice.
No, sometimes though I do get squeaky.
Squeaky.
Oh, you know what? Tonight though he doesn't have the squeaky because of the mustache,
man.
I'm Tom Kyers. I always go first, man.
None of the comic books were good this week. No, I'm kidding. My pick of the week is Guttsville from Image, issue number one. The story by Simon Spurrier with art and letters by Fraser
Irving.
Sure. And I loved it. It was great.
What's it about?
It is about a ship on
its
way to Australia carrying prisoners that get swallowed by some sort of leviathan or underwater beast.
Cthulhu-ish.
They develop a whole culture living on this boat inside a beast.
So it's Jonah and the whale.
Yes.
Extrapolated.
And there's a lot of references to Jonah.
Certainly.
And it's actually got weird sort of ties to his work on Clarion, the witch boy, with the sort of underground society. And at first that threw me off a little bit because the people are sort of dressed the same way.
Yeah.
And that was the last sort of time I really read a lot of the Fraser Irving stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm like, God, this is kind of weird. It kind of looks the same. But once I got into it, it's a challenging read because they speak with forked tongues. They speak in sort of a very heavy dialect, a lot of accent. They don't give you a lot of clues exactly to how everyone relates. You kind of have to pick up on it. You have different storylines already going on.
Modern story or period piece?
It doesn't really fit either one because
I think
it's
in between because I think maybe they are a culture that's grown up in this.
They grew from a certain point in history.
Okay.
You know, they obviously come from like a 19th century viewpoint.
Oh, this is generation.
Yeah,
so this is several years, decades later,
this
generations
is decades later.
Later.
So you don't really know how long. You know
Very
where
cool.
it started, but you don't know
They're
exactly
They're like a stunted, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm.
They have racial problems, like arguments about whether the Abos. Were originally on the ship or whether the Leviathan created them as antibodies to test them. Because the whole thing is like they don't think that they'll be able to escape the beast until they're all like sinless and perfect.
Wow, I gotta do some serious parody.
It's very Puritan sort of.
Yeah, there's like a culture.
It.
There's these people called the Jonakin, which are like the leaders who are the religious leaders.
Caters, I'm picking this book up.
Yeah,
this sounds awesome.
Seriously. And it's great. You have different subplots. You have a guy who's pretending to be a member of like the aristocracy who's also leading a group of people who are trying to overthrow the resistance. Yeah, and it's a lot of really sort of cool stuff like that. You see a guy. The main story is that the Guttsville's rat catcher, which at first you think is an exterminator, but really it's the guy who goes and gets food. They eat the rats that he catches. So he dies. He's killed by some beast, and his son takes over. But his son is an artist, and his son doesn't want to be a rat catcher.
I don't want to be a rat catcher,
I don't want to be a rat catcher.
You'll be
father.
A rat catcher. Your father was a rat catcher. Your father's father was.
So yeah, and that's sort of
that's
the overall
a lot of drama.
Plot. But also, what I love is the fact that once you get to the end of the book, it also has fake journal entries about beasts that they have discovered inside the belly of this creature.
It's,
like
a curious crustacean.
Yeah, they have stuff about different bugs and different birds, and they have a map of the inside of it.
I fucking love maps.
I love it when they include a map, because I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, that.
That's where the ranch catcher got it.
One of my favorite things is because the layout of the culture is that one end is the swallow end and one end is the shit end.
The sphincter.
They're like, oh, he lives towards the shit end of town. But it's not saying that the end of town is shitty. That's just the direction that it lies in. Yeah, that it,
wow,
you know.
So mature.
Yeah, exactly. And at the very end, there's actually a text piece. A nice little short story. And I know a lot of people would be like, oh, man, if I wanted to read a book, I wouldn't read comics. It was great. It's like a little murder mystery about, you know, people in this town. Yeah. Someone who falls in love with their maid.
It's sold out here. I was very upset. Are you ready?
No shit, really?
Oh, goddamn.
Mark, it was good.
Did you order on that?
It was already out.
The only thing I would...
Nobody freaking asked for it beforehand, so...
Yeah.
The only thing I would caution people about is it's a very sort of obtuse work. It's very sparse in dialogue and as far as the sequential art. I mean, it leaves a lot to your imagination and a lot of room for your imagination to sort of run through it.
I think
it.
You have to pay attention to who's saying what, because they don't like
identify
say name like. I'm Johnny, and I don't want to be a rat catcher. And then later goes, oh, Johnny still doesn't want to be. People don't talk in the third person.
Yeah, there's not much exposition. I mean, it's something you definitely have to pay attention to. But it was very interesting and very unique.
And
I like it.
I like the art.
Mr. Salazar, what is your top of the stack?
Well, I didn't really want to pick this, but only because I've picked it, I think, a couple times before.
I picked Fables like three times in a row.
Yeah, so well, I didn't get a whole lot of books this week, and this was certainly the best one or my favorite one of the week. Criminal Number 6, Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. It's the new storyline with Tracy Lawless, and it's about a character we kind of met before Tracy Lawless a little bit in the first arc. Or found out about his family a little bit, and this story takes place with him coming back to town after having served in the military for about 15 years. He goes AWOL because his brother was killed, and he's coming back to find out why. And I got a very solid feel of this series really, you know, almost like Brubaker finding. Not finding himself, but really hitting his stride with this next issue, with issue 6. The first one, while I thought was excellent, this one has a completely different feel to it in some regards. While it's still very noir and you know, you're in the criminal underworld, it's a different different character and a different aspect of these characters that you're looking at. It's someone that's not necessarily a criminal, but he's going to be one. He was at one time, and he's going to be again. So it had a different feel to it, but man, it just really felt so smooth, and the entire thing just felt like Brubaker really just nailed it. I mean, the issue is very interesting, and finding out about these characters, and I can't wait for the next issue. The art, of course, Sean Phillips is fantastic, and the coloring and everything else. So
Val Staples doing the coloring.
I couldn't remember his name. But
great book.
If you hadn't picked up Criminal before the first five issues, you can pick up the sixth issue, and it really has nothing to do with the previous five.
Each,
it's a whole
each
new story.
Arc is going to be a great jumping on point.
Yeah, absolutely. And this one is absolutely going to be fantastic. I can already tell from the first issue.
Was there a text piece?
There was not really a text piece. Brubaker had written a little bit in the back, but there was a bunch of letters that they decided they wanted to print. So there wasn't a whole lot of text.
They're getting back to it next.
Yeah, but they are getting back to it. Cool. But they had a bunch of letters they wanted to print in this piece. So.
My only disappointment about the trades.
Trades aren't going to have...
But he said that he wants to make the magazine matter, and that's the interesting thing. He doesn't call it a comic. He's like, I really want it to be more considered like a magazine. And,
well, it's consistent with the trade, too, because the trade isn't titled Criminal Volume 1 Coward. It's titled Coward.
Right.
Criminal.
And this is Lawless Part 1. And the other thing, if you did read the first one and maybe you weren't that huge a fan of that main character because of his characteristics, well, this is a completely different... Yeah, Leo, this is a completely different type of character. He's... much more of a badass kind of guy and very direct and
not a coward.
Yeah, certainly not a coward. He's a hard ass. So it's a just a completely different feel while still retaining all the good parts of the first five issues of
Conan. Nobody does street level like
it, yeah, it's just great stuff. That's so.
His playground. Mr. Scotty Young, what European comic are you going to tell us about this week?
Well, I only read one. I did read a trade this week, but I'm only so-so on it. So.
I'm only joking about the European comics.
It was a funny joke. I caught it.
Chris is the funny man on the show.
He understands.
Hilarious.
I tried to move past it so people actually, yeah, whatever. But I read, what was the Batman Dark Victory? I read that. I'm so-so on it, so I'm not going to pick it. I'm going to go back to my trusty art books.
Art nerd.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell people to go buy this art book. I have a whole bunch, but I'll just pick one since that's the rule in Bartertown.
Who runs Bartertown?
Master Blaster runs Bartertown.
It is called Pink Planet. Don't be afraid by the name. It's not a...
Is that
more
a girl
porn?
Book?
Is that porn?
Hey man, is that a
it
girl
is
book?
A girl book, but not in the way you think.
Pink
Cletus.
Pink Planet is the art book for Olivier Vatine, an outstanding European artist who actually, I believe he some time ago did some work for Star Wars, for Dark Horse. Did some Star Wars issues. If you read the interview in the back of the book, he says how he will never come back to American comics because of the nature of how our, you know, in Europe,
superheroes.
Well, in Europe, it truly is from the writing down to the art is about
the art
100% all it can be quality. You know, they want the time put in to be what it can be, and
it's not time dependent.
So you really get to make a product that lasts. You know, their books stay in print for, you know, they keep printing and printing. Mm-hmm. And they really approach books on in the way of, it won't be successful when we put it out, so let's make it the best we can and hope we build an audience over the next 10 years. Which is, everybody wants something to be a success right when they put it out, but they do their best to set it up to where it can be a success in 2 years.
It'll stand the test of time.
Right.
It will.
That's not to say everything is awesome over there either. But this is an art book of just some of the work that he's done. He did some design work for The Fifth Element, the movie.
Oh. Luc Besson.
He did Mike Rowingo, who Telos.
Yeah.
They did a European, European versions of Telos back in the day, and Olivia did a cover for that.
Oh, that's cool.
Because he was a fan of that. And then there's just a lot of beautiful drawn women. he is a great kind of. It's like taking the comic book mentality and then adding it in, you know, kind of like almost like an animated style of drawing, but applying it to the old kind of petty girl type pinup drawings and things like that. So. He definitely has a couple different styles, a little cleaner style, a little bit more inky style. I would just say anybody who's really interested in just checking out and getting inspired by some really nice artwork, go pick this up. Pink Planet by Olivier Vatine. It's published by Delcourt.
Is it a hard book to find, or
you'll probably have to go online,
Amazon.
Like Stuart. I think Amazon, maybe Stuart Ng. That's StuartNG.com. You can Google it, find it. I found it at a convention in San Diego or something, but you can usually get all these books online.
Scotty's on the mark because he brought in that black set stuff you mentioned.
Scotty, in his recommendations, is not full of shit, no matter what you might think. Because
he's pretty much full of shit. But when it comes to art,
he's not full of shit. I need to take a picture of you in a suit on the
colon. Fuck you.
He brought in
the black set.
Two volumes plus the making of Black Sad, and
we're all going to order
just, like,
it.
Drooling over them,
amazingly beautiful stuff.
Ironically, I usually drool, and I'm not today. So
it's dried John up. That's how good it is.
I usually just touch myself
without me around.
Chris,
my,
what did you pick?
My top of the stack. This was my Tom Cater's rule. I was like, you know, there are some other things that I felt like, I should probably talk about this. But I was like, this is what I enjoyed the most this week, and that is Captain America. America 26 after, what, a 10-week layoff? Yeah. Was it about 10
was
weeks?
Was it that long?
Yes,
it was,
sir.
It was a good long time.
I was wondering when I was getting the shakes.
The issue that happens, it's everything that happens right after the death of Captain America. We actually get to see the corpse, which is pretty shocking. Brubaker broke this book into different sections on how different groups of people are dealing with the immediate after effects of the death, different wakes. It opens up with Sharon Carter and how she deals with it at S.H.I.E.L.D. and dealing with her grief and, you know, a pretty pretty harsh confrontation with Tony Stark, because she obviously has pretty pretty harsh feelings about him and his role in Civil War. Then it moves on into what they kind of call the public wake, everyone that's not on the run from the Initiative meets, and you get to see, you know, Ben Grimm and Dum Dum Dugan and Falcon is there at this bar, and everyone is kind of talking about their memories of Cap. You see, you know, Tony comes in later, but you get to see Wonder Man and everyone, the Initiative former colleagues.
The Mighty Avengers.
Yes, the Mighty Avengers wake, basically. You get to see the after effects on from Red Skull and Sin and the group that is, you know, supposedly responsible
Dr.
for
Dr. Faustus.
And Faustus, and then my favorite, Arnim Zola. Any book that has Arnim Zola is cool. Right? You come on, a robot with a dude's
Yeah,
you gotta love that.
Hello, face torso. I love watching you in action, face torso.
Well, hello, everybody. That's what he says back to me.
Hello again, everybody. Hello. From the view of my name.
I was a hot dog.
Anytime you can team up like Arnim Zola and MODOK, you know, big head and little head together like MODOK. that is good MODOK. Stuff. Then you've got the secret wake with the new Avengers, and you find out that Sam Wilson is basically become registered so he can infiltrate the registered heroes. He wants to be able to
keep tabs, see what's going on.
And I think he wanted to publicly, more than anything, talk about Steve Rogers and what he meant, and if he was on the run, he wouldn't be able to do that.
Throughout the entire issue, they keep referencing back to, everybody keeps saying to him, I really love what you had to say at Cap's wake, mm-hmm. or, you know,
and they never
say it, but it's just like it was such a well done part of the book.
It's a nice invention. It saves Brubaker.
Yeah, from actually write something. Mm-hmm.
But at least
but it gives you that, and for the first time since I think probably Christopher Priest's Captain and Falcon, Captain America and Falcon. Sam Wilson's like an interesting character again. He's not just like this throwaway character. There's a lot more depth to him, and
he and Bucky represent the two halves of Cap's career.
Absolutely.
They are the two partners, and obviously, I think we're moving towards an interesting team up coming up at the end of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we get at the end. My favorite part of the book is how Bucky is taking Cap's death.
Yeah, not so well.
And hey, you know, Bucky is the man out of time, just like Steve Rogers, but he
got into a fight with a guy that looks like me playing pool.
Yeah. which was great.
Because Captain America's a traitor.
Are you purposely being coy about Sharon Carter's role in the story?
Oh, no. That she was brainwashed.
Well, she was brainwashed by Faustus.
And seems to be unable to confess to any of the heroes what she's done. Because she's still under Faustus' control.
Yeah.
So that's kind of her own personal.
You know what's interesting?
Knowing that she's responsible for it and not being able to talk about it.
I've been kind of going back and reading some old Cap issues in regards to mostly like his death issues.
Beeble-borp.
And in almost.
Just checking.
Beeble-borp.
Shut up. In almost every one of the previous, you know, issues where Cap has died, quote unquote, it always was Faustus had something to do with it. There was like two different times that Cap died, supposedly, and Faustus was involved. Arnim Zola was involved in one, and Red Skull's always been involved in it, and Sharon Carter, and all these. You know, it's like, so, I mean, I think Brubaker's sort of
all the key
he's
elements.
Sort of pulling a Jeff Johns in the sense of like going back to all this stuff from years and years ago that, you know, and pulling it back to the modern day. And the thing that I loved in this issue is like when Faustus was first, it was like I can't remember what issue of Cap it was, but it was really early on. And it was funny because he was this psychiatrist or whatever, but he was like this hulking monstrous guy who actually physically, you know, could outpower Captain America. And in who happened to be a psychiatrist. But in this book, I mean, if you look at him when they show him talking with Red Skull, he's this huge dude. So I just thought that was kind of a neat, you know,
one of the few people that will stand up to Skull. He's like, hey, screw you, pal.
Yeah, but I definitely think, you know, obviously Brubaker knows the history of Cap. And
I love how Bucky's taking it. It's like, you know, in this situation, you know, Cap would have talked his way, you know, to a resolution and explained to this person that, you know, that's not really being a patriot, that, you know, sometimes people need to stand up to their government. I'm not Cap, so I'm going to crack a pool cue over this guy's melon. So I thought that was
good.
Great.
Bar fight.
And
Tom's jealous now. Somebody else is doing it. What?
And America's traitor, man. And Tony Stark's got some issues coming up. So
nice.
All right, this might be your last top of the stack for a while. Great. Make it count.
All right, my top of the stack, I'll do it as Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peck.
By the delightful author, Gail Simone, a book called Birds of Prey. Birds of Prey, number 100 and whatever the hell it is, I don't even know. I think it's 104 or 105. It's 105.
Is that the Big Barda?
With Big Barda and Knockout on the cover.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. 106. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. I loved it. I think it continues this great story. It's a great team up. It's the Secret Six against the Birds of Prey.
Nice to see the Secret Six again.
And wonderful elements of what you expect when Team A faces Team B in this kind of crossover, but also
twist
great action.
On that.
And great characterization. I mean, it's excellent. We're getting Spy Smasher trying to, really screw around with the birds, and Barbara Gordon has to contend with that, but also the team is dealing with trying to stop the Secret Six, and it's a very interesting little spy caper, and thrown into the mix, suddenly Ice is alive. So it's this really great story. It's a continuation, but I just love it. I love the dialogue. Nicola Scott is just totally knocking it out with her art. I mean, her stuff is gorgeous. I really think there are a core of DC artists right now. Nicola Scott, Dale Eaglesham,
Mike Norton.
Who'd you mention?
Ivan Rice.
I'll put Ivan Rice up there, absolutely. Sure. I mean, yeah, there's just some really great iconic artists really right now doing a lot of great work, and Gail is very lucky to have Nicola on Birds, and I wonder who Sean's going to get, and I wonder where Nicola's going to go next.
Queen Country.
Nicola, I should
Queen
say. Well, that might be a couple of years, man, according to Ryan.
Nikki to her friends.
But, I'm sorry.
I'm not.
I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, Nicola.
And Scott.
Hope to see you in San Diego. I know you live in Australia, but I think it's a great. Well,
I don't think she's
weird.
Listening.
Yeah,
she's
saved cool. that shit from.
I don't know, man. We get a lot of Australian listeners. We do very well down under.
We are huge in Australia.
We are. We're big. We're like the Slim Whitmans of Australia. Well, anyway, I really enjoyed it.
All right.
No, him the Yodeler, Rosemary.
Sweet. We should also mention
what?
Because Chris Burnham's like hovering.
Yeah, for the last. Well, it's not,
not
actually. I tell you what, Mr. Burnham, why don't you take my spot and let us know about your top of the stack.
Yay!
Are you on top of the
big
stack.
Big surprise!
I'm top of the stack.
You got 11 seconds
before he does pimp his own book and say this was outstanding, and I am knocked out by how well
I haven't read it yet.
Out.
But if I had,
well, yes, just. Neesman's excuse for a top of the stack was the book he was most excited about. So the book I was most excited about this week was my own book. Alpha Men number 9. It's my first published work in like a year. It's my first book out by one of the big four, I guess, Image Comics. And it looks, I mean, if I don't say so myself, it looks really good.
I'm so awesome.
I got to do a silent story. It's about this... this Elephant Man character, the Silencer, who's this creepy hitman guy who hates all these Elephant Men.
Human.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a human guy. And so,
half human, he's kind of robotic.
I got to do a story. It's almost entirely silent. There's some sound effects, and there's two caption boxes. One says, they call me the Silencer. The other says, that's all you need to know. And I get to tell the rest of the story.
Spoiler.
Only in pictures. And I think it works pretty well.
It does look really good.
It reminded me of... the sort of classic, like, 10-page stories where you sort of have a twist at the end and you have a really cool
lead-up to it.
I'm
nodding as though you can hear me.
Yeah, yeah, he's nodding. it sort of harkens back to, I think most people would probably more recognize it sort of as, like, the Alan Moore sort of backup stories, you know. It has a longer tradition, but probably more people have read those sort of, like, Alan Moore Green Lantern stories, where it's like a short 6-page story that has a neat little twist at the end that sets up the whole story, and that's the way this is. And it's great because the best thing about Elephant Man is it's not really a backup story, because it's sort of a flip book that you flip around and go, like, both stories sort of have equal value to it, and you get two really cool little...
Chris got the cover.
Yeah.
There's two covers, so I got one of them.
Yeah, and it's
David
fun.
Lloyd drew
it.
The cover.
Yeah,
pretty
that's
cool.
Awesome.
He's a pretty,
yeah, how's that, man? Sharing the book with David Lloyd.
That's pretty wild. And there's also a little blurb on me. Starkings took a picture
saw that,
of me in
yeah.
San Diego. So he wrote this ridiculously
flattering...
You're
too young
little,
to have a biography.
Right, ridiculously flattering bio of me, and then he mentions me again in the little David Lloyd write-up. So it's pretty
you.
Cool. Yeah, he has a man crush on me. But it's not just a backup. This is actually the payoff to a story that was set up in the previous issue, so it does, you know, count or
it all,
matter or
yeah,
whatever.
It matters.
And also, I would say the art on the lead story or the other story by Moritat, who's Justin Palmer, is that his real name?
I'm not sure.
He likes
amazing.
Something like that.
He likes Moritat. We're holding a stupid book. We're not smart enough to read.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pictures
do
it. They don't put his real name in it, though.
Well,
they don't.
He likes Moritat, so it's.
Yeah.
I would say Moritat's best work to date on the book. So it's a good one. Elephant Man number 9 from Image Comics.
Great.
He has a code name.
Yeah, you know, it's like he wants to be
pseudonym.
The next Mobius. So Jean Giraud chose Mobius, so he chose Moritat because it comes right after Mobius in the alphabet.
In the dictionary.
Literally why he chose it.
Mobius 1 would.
Mobius A. Mobius A.
He chose his Mobius
on a message board.
With
an
A.
You're right, exactly.
Mobius A.
Mobius 1.
Well, congratulations on the book.
Yeah,
it looks
so
great. Well, we love the Elephant Man, so absolutely.
So there we go.
Just another added bonus for us to, for everyone to pick
it up. That's the top of the stack. Right.
So shall we call the next segment Future Stacks?
No, just previews, man. Wednesday's list. I don't care.
All right.
It's not a segment.
The
it's just a
catalog now. Aren't
no, we're just gonna list. There's. This was
a terrible idea.
Shut up. This was my idea. I thought. You know, we always talk. We do our top of the stacks, but it's about books that are already out.
Right.
So I thought we would take a look at the books that are coming out this week, this coming Wednesday, and maybe pick out a few that are either books that you know are we've already we're reading the series, or because of the creators that are involved on it, we thought would be interesting that people might want to take a second look at in case they you know don't regularly buy it.
Mm.
It's just sort of us recommending stuff that is going to come out this week. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're in the shop. Wednesday, take
can
a look at these books.
Can you diagram what you're trying to explain? Because I don't get it. I'm just being an ass.
So it's a multiverse. You're
big shocker there.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah,
so you're
going to
do for me.
So what?
What you mean, Sally?
What Sal has highlighted for us here is
I don't even have my list in front of me.
MPD Psycho Volume 1 trade paperback from Dark Horse.
Yeah, MPD's that is the most read manga. Like ever, and it's finally coming out. Manga. It's coming out. Dark Horse is releasing it finally in an English translation,
really?
And it's coming. This is a book like I have never read.
Did Stephanie suggest this book?
Well, I'm not suggesting the book. I'm just saying don't forget that these books are out. I'm not trying to say go buy this book.
This book is that? I'm confused, Sal.
All right, we've got 52 Volume 1 trade paperback coming out.
He's not going to
part of me is really glad John is never
he's
coming back.
Not at all. Sal's had it with me.
No,
I wanted to know about the book if you knew about it.
What's it about?
Like, Jack Kirby's Fourth World Omnibus, Volume 1.
What's that about?
Sal
Beacon. Man, I'm actually really excited for that one.
Mm-hmm. Right? Creature from the Depths, one shot, coming out from Image Comics.
Oh, you've already scrolled past DC. I wanted to mention Deathblow and Green Lantern, of course. I mean, John's kicking ass on Green Lantern. We keep moving it closer and closer to the Sinestro Corps. But Deathblow, Azzarello, it's an excellent book, and I think really one of the better Wildstorm revamp.
All right, we got Invincible number 42, Kiss, 40,000, or 4,000?
Well, on the Invincible book, it's $1.99 sort of introductory
that's right.
issue. That's why
what's
I put it
Kiss
in there, because if you haven't been reading Invincible, this is sort of a cheap place for you to pick up the series. It's going to be an entire
kind of a recap
of the entire series up to this point.
Oh, man, I'm going to hate when
so if you haven't read Invincible before and you're thinking about buying it would maybe be a good place to pick it up.
Walking Dead Volume 2 hardcover. That would go up to issue 24, is that correct?
fuck, I don't know.
13th through 24.
Wow. That was really
he's all bitter.
That's gone.
He's bitter. Sure.
Daredevil. Daredevil number 97.
You fuckers.
In my mind, I'm already home.
Along with Daredevil, The Devil stupid. Inside, and Out, Volume 1 trade paperback.
You're Avengers, walking home, bitch.
New Avengers Illuminati, number 3 of 5.
Which has been an excellent book.
Is that Slott?
No, that's
Bendis. Illuminati. It's Bendis.
Is this
Illuminati.
A real one,
or are they trying to trick me into buying this one?
Silver Surfer Requiem, number 1 of 4. The Boys, number 7.
Yay!
Is finally
going. And
Dynamite publication.
And Boys, Volume 1 trade paperback. So that's some stuff to look forward to in a couple days, folks. All right, we have a ton of listener email. Our first listener email is from our buddy, the host of Comics Cast. It's Mr. Bruce R.
He said, "Hey guys, just wanted to congratulate you on a really great episode. My buddy Sean from N3 Erdcast, or Nerdcast if you're a forum guy, had actually told me about this episode and how good it was, and I have to admit that I'm way behind on a lot of my podcast listening. Heck, I only have 3 hours a day of commute time."
He's, of course, talking about the JSA Comics 101.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that was in the subject line. Sorry.
"I'm glad that Sean pointed this one out, even though he did reluctantly, assuming that I already knew all of this information, which, for the record, is not the case. I love the All-Star volumes, and I certainly remember Roy Thomas bringing them back. Hey, those would be good candidates for my test run on bookbinding. But I'd totally forgotten the 70s run, and I sold all my 60s and 70s comics in 1980, so I'm sure I no longer have them. These two trades will be on my wish list by day's end. Couldn't believe all that garbage the characters were put through in the 90s.
I'm getting inferno.
Man, no wonder comics almost disappeared off the face of the earth. Well, anyway, congrats on the episode. There are way too little of these types of episodes in podcasting, and I, for one, am happy to listen. Keep up the good work, and don't be too harsh on Todd McFarlane. He did some good work before it all went to his head. And how refreshing to hear you guys bash someone for once. Don't be afraid to do so. Makes it a fun listen to. Best, Bruce."
Scotty Young sucks. "Hi there. Great show. Listen to it all the time on my iPod while I am working. I am an art director / storyboard and comic book artist from Norway. It would be cool to hear more from the Kubert School, if possible. Keep up the good work. Best from Oslo, Norway. Raymond Johansson." Had nothing to do with Norton.
Well, Raymond, we don't have anyone lined up to talk about the Kubert School, but we are going to be talking to the folks from Savannah College of Art and Design in 2 weeks, correct?
Sure, if you say so.
Yep, so we're going to be talking Sequential Art School in a couple weeks.
Fantastic.
So look forward to that.
Gentlemen, quit, always exciting when a lady chimes in. From Jessica, who says, "Hello again, everybody. I really like the show. It's like listening to my friends rant about comics, only you always have way better taste than most of them. I want to thank you for having Cecil Castellucci on the show." You know, backwards, it's Lisky Luklaskica on the show. "As a young woman who spends a large portion of my disposable income on comics and a regular listener, I appreciate you having a female writer on the show. It'd be super cool if you could have more female guests. Sincerely, that's from Jessica in Austin, Texas."
It would be cool if there were...
Now ready?
I sure hope she doesn't sound that way.
Every female.
As Harry Carey.
As Harry Carey.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy Birds of Prey.
I like girls.
Yeah. Arnie, where's Arnie Harris, our technical advisor?
Well, thank you, Jessica, for sending and
cool,
listening
Jessica.
And sending us. We'll try and get more female.
I hope there's more female writers eventually.
Yeah, that would, yeah. More writers, more artists, more
right.
Women
Gail
everywhere.
Simone, we're looking at you.
Colleen Doran.
Colleen Doran, yeah.
They weren't hermits.
All right, for quite possibly the greatest listener email we have ever received. I want to set this up. Tom admitted a few weeks back that he's been using his Around Comics email for signing up a lot of porn, and he's been getting
a lot of
spam, a lot of people looking for his bank account, and he forwarded one of these emails to us.
It makes me wonder how many Nigerian princes there are.
Said, "Dearest Mr. Caters, compliments of the season. I trust this email finds you well and in fine viral form.
My name is Obubu Magonga, and I am the manager of the United Bank of Tomo Longu Elephant Financing Division. In my bank, there is an abandoned sum of $33.3 million in an account that belongs to one of our foreign customers, by name Mr. Steve Rogers. We were sad to learn he recently died due to being shot by a woman nobody seemed to notice while surrounded by hundreds of people and cameras. We were even sadder to learn that in advance from the... we were even sadder to learn this in advance from the fucking Yahoo homepage. We are still awaiting written confirmation of his death, and as soon as we save up the $100 needed to purchase a copy of Cap number 25 from eBay, we will, of course, forward this to you. Since we got this information about his death, we have been expecting his next of kin to come over and claim his money, but as yet nobody has come forward. We have been contacted by someone called Bucky, claiming to be next of kin, but being God-fearing people, we do not recognize gay marriage as official, even if he claims it was just to keep warm in the trenches.
It was war.
It is therefore upon this discovery that I decided to make business with you and release the money to you as the next of kin of or relation of the deceased for safety and subsequent disbursement. We would, of course, need you to go by the name of Tom Rogers for the duration and claim to be the illegitimate son of Steve and Eva Braun. This, of course, being the true reason for Adolf's jealous murder/suicide at the end of the war and the inspiration for the popular wartime song, You Might Be the Fuhrer, But I've Had Your Fraulein. All you now have to do is send me your bank account details and $100 cash for the aforementioned document. I'm afraid I must request cash and not quarter books to the value of $100, as I unfortunately have a rare skin disease that causes me to break out in feathers if exposed to the smell of old basements. Upon receipt of your reply, I will send you the text of the application. Please forward this to Blue Meanie at our Walsh office, but please specify this is not to be spent on beer or porn. Yours faithfully, Obubu Mbongo, second place medal regional under 12's 100 meter freestyle 1975. P.S. If you could please act quickly on this, because we are pretty sure he will be coming back to life in the next few months and might want his cash back.
That was awesome.
Cap never had that much money, man.
That's a lot of dedication in
that. Blue Meanie is awesome.
That was a great email. That was probably the best, most thought out email we've ever gotten. So thank you.
That was
I'm
brilliant.
Tired.
So
yeah,
me
too, man.
Those people were part over in Wales. All right.
There's still more.
You guys ready to? Actually, we do have one.
Really? Yeah. I said that as a joke.
Well, we have more emails for next week, but this one, reminds me to talk about how we can spread the Around Comics love. That is our Listener LCS Challenge. I've been mentioning that lately.
Someone finally
did it. So, yeah, we actually had a couple. Yeah. So I'm going to talk about one right now. It says, hey, Chris, Sal, and Tom, and I suppose John as well.
Oh, thanks.
He didn't mention you, Scotty.
Sorry, Scotty.
No Scotty love.
Or Scotty's ego.
Stupid language.
First of all, if you folks aren't familiar with the Listener LCS Challenge, if you go to our homepage, there is a flyer that you can download, print it out, and ask your local comic shop manager or owner if they'll display that in their shop. If they do so, we'll mention you and the store on the show and provide a link to the shop at our site. So anyway, this goes on. It has taken me some time, but I have got the LCS challenge photos done. While you guys have been asking to the point of giving up, I've been trying to sneak the print out while I've been at work, then getting to the store and seeing if they would put it up, then sneaking a digital camera out of work, then getting back to the store. So it is finally done.
Is do they not speak English in Australia?
Apparently,
you guys are promoting criminals. Because he's like robbing his work blind.
But it is for the store Comics Are Us, and this is from Lee Webb, who I know is a listener of Word Balloon.
Said, the guys who work there, Mitchell and Mark, have let your flyer go up in the front window. I added a mention of the other Chicago podcast, Word Balloon and Crankcast, to the flyer, which I hope is okay. No, take that down. I'm slowly trying to convince some friends to give a podcast a go, so the test night goes okay. I'll write back on advice on how to do it properly. Lee Webb. But it's Comics Are Us, level 1/220 Burke Street, Melbourne, Australia. So check it out if you're in Melbourne.
Jump in the podcast pool, Lee.
Yep.
I think that'd be awesome.
And we
from Australia.
Yeah.
Lee's a good guy.
Yeah, and we've got pictures of the shop with the flyer, and it's got our flyer and Crankcast and Word Balloon, which is all pretty cool. So thank you very much.
Just imagine there's dozens of people in Australia that can now listen to us and call us stupid.
Word Balloon crap, eh?
I can't hear it.
So other ways to interact with the show besides all of these great voicemails and emails, taking stuff on the LCS challenge. You can also become our virtual friend at comicspace.com/aroundcomics. You can do the same thing at myspace.com/aroundcomics.
People love the MySpace.
I guess, yeah, it's huge. And then you can, I caught you on there the other night.
MySpace. Oh, MySpace? Yeah, I'm on there also. Now, people think I'm on there 24 hours a day because my computer's on all the time. I actually get comments like, why don't you go to sleep, man? And I'm like, I'm not really on it, but it always says online.
Well,
24 hours a day.
Like 16 hours is still a lot.
Yeah.
Not really. What are you trying to say?
Not Scotty time. Right.
Well, you can also take me up on like my personal favorite, which is our iTunes music store reviews. Thank you very much to Todd42 this week. He left us a very nice...
What happened to Todd 1 through 41?
They're dead.
They said, fuck around, Todd. That show's done.
Haven't been paying attention.
You can join our Frapper map. Don't know if we have any new Frappers this week. We'll update that later.
Check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and what you should think.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts like Comics Cast and Collected Comics Library, all sorts of stuff, at comicspodcasts.com.
And just so everyone is aware, and we mean everyone, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays or Wednesdays or whatever.
I did it on Wednesdays. I had a photo shoot at work. Leave me alone.
Boo-hoo. And thank you again to Borders for sponsoring the show. When art attacks strike a small town, only four high school girls could be responsible. Get your copy of The Plain Janes by Cecil Castellucci and Jim Rugg at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com or use the store locator at aroundcomics.com.
And the boys would like you to remember that they're proud and to help support the Hero Initiative. It creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of you youngsters to give back something to the people who've given so much enjoyment.
Like hot dogs.
For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809, Arnie.
Hey, Harry, how do you say Hero Initiative backwards?
Razzle.
That's Evitative Hero.
Hey!
Evitative now at the plate.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Scotty, Tom and Sal, of course, Harry Carey.
Boy, oh boy.
John, your last news and reviews episodes for a while?
Yeah, sorry, boys. Got a nighttime gig in radio, so...
Where can people hear you now?
I'm going to be at The Mix, 101.9 FM. It is online, and I guess I'll be doing a lot of commercials also that will be online.
Fantastic.
So for the international audience, if you really want to hear me reading about...
Viagra.
Exactly.
You know, oil change.
Sunday. So that's going to be starting up. And
when's your hours?
Really late, 4 to midnight, man.
Do you think you could slip in an Around Comics commercial once in a while?
Yeah, just I don't know. I'll try and slide that back past the bosses and stuff. But no, it's...
Just stay backwards. No one will notice.
I will miss my Friday nights and hanging out, boys.
Yeah, well, we're going to miss you too, buddy. So, all right, for, I guess, John's last episode for a little while, come back on Thursday. We're going to be talking about comics under the radar. It's comics out of the Diamond Top 100 that we read and enjoy. So come back for that one. In between now and then, we'll be everywhere in...
And around
comics!
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love your baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone?
And the fellas want to remind you that they are proud members and help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators.
We're not proud members.
Just restart.
Oh, well, I thought it's supporters of it, but I'll be happy to do it.
Yeah, we're proud to help support it.
Fine.
They oh, just, wow, hit, him in, they just hit you in the mouth.
All right, man.
Shut your
You guys suck. That's all I want.
There's more?
You know, I'm trying to...